This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast. Welcome back to Eldermorn, everybody.
Eldermorn!
Ooh, I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Hey there, Centaurs. You're not the only one with a ponytail, Corbeau Babineau.
Okay. This is new.
I had to change it up.
I was prepared for another thing, so we just I just have to throw that out.
Really good rhyme for this one. This absolutely destroys me.
It's okay. Not rhymes anymore. It's clever one-liners.
This is insane. How can this system work like this?
Okay, and then we've got Emily Axford.
Hey there, Centaurs. You're not the only one with a deep and profound sense of shame about things you've done in your life. Derrigan Snakeroot.
Oh,
wow. That actually beat mine.
A little bit of projecting on the Centaurs, for sure. And then, of course, we've got our guest, Lou Wilson.
Hey there, Centaurs. You're not the only one holding a weapon and wanting to use it. Jabari the Safari.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
I love the new format.
I hate the new format. I had rhymes written.
Jay, this is the worst thing you've ever done. I think this is the first time that my respect for you has declined.
I have a notes app note with a written rhyme that I was ready to deliver.
Okay, this is awful because now I feel like the audience at home is going to turn against me.
Good.
They're being robbed of the rhymes.
Robbed of the rhyme, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Robbed the rhyme. Jake Hurwitz robbed us of the rhyme.
No.
Hashtag robbed the rhyme. What you guys took from that was not to do a clever one-liner. It was to start whatever you said with, hey, Centaurs. Hey, Centaurs.
Oh. I'm sorry. Did you want me to spend the 10 seconds I had to think of something?
Nope.
Thinking about the similarities between Derrigan and Centaurs?
Okay, Centaurs, let's go ahead and do a little recap.
Nice.
So last time, the Hexbuds finished their grim work at Weimer's war camp, slaying the would-be king with 3 arrows from Jabari's steady bow. You took off to escape, only to be attacked by Sir Reynard Wendell. After a close call with a downed Corbeau, Derrigan managed to bring him back up, and you all fled into the woods. Reynard gave chase, and just as it seemed you couldn't take another crossbow bolt, Corbeau caught sight of a winter sprite, something he had not seen since your time living with giants during the war. Before you could follow it, however, you were confronted by the prophet Gideon. Derrigan, though, used thaumaturgy to throw him off his horse while casting sanctuary on Sir Reynard and sending him off. The 3 of you followed the winter sprite through a natural gate, emerging from the other side in a whole new world, a secret grove. After a short standoff with some centaurs, you were brought to your
old... Hey, centaurs.
Hey there.
Hey there, centaurs.
You guys were brought to your old friend Glada, a wise frost giant elder who was said to be able to speak to sprites. She brought you into her giant cottage for some giant humor and grim news. There, you learned that the sorceress Maxora was actually a projection of your old mentor, the mad mage Merowyn. Merowyn had made a deal with the Reaper and was now combining her genius in human augmentation with his divine power. You found out that Glada is part of a network of the Trickster's followers called the Guardians of the Grove, and that Merowyn was leading a war against them. The prophets Gideon and Cain were once part of the Guardians, but were apparently killed and resurrected as minions. These minions have the power to grant Merowyn access to the secret groves, and apparently her true form lies in one, the Scorched Grove to the north. After processing this information in the war hot tub, the Wartub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know it.
You decided to deal with the Prophet Gideon first, who is likely still out in Pearl Hill, away from the rest of his cohorts. And that's where we are now.
Can I ask a quick question? When we worked with the mage, did she have a god or deity that she was connected with? Was it a switch from the trickster to the Reaper, or was she just experimenting with magic?
No, she was very much of a scientific mind. She was very much of this world. Like, to be a god means to have power, you know, boots on the ground here. So she, so this is actually kind of out of character for her in a way. So she must have gotten a fantastic deal.
Mm.
So you guys are in Glada's giant cottage in the Wartub. You hear the trickling from a small spigot that is pulling water from a nearby magical hot spring. And you guys see fog fills the room as you guys are sitting in this tub. And you see after a little bit, after you guys have been talking for a little while, Glada enters. You see like her giant shadow appearing in the fog.
Whoa, Glada, knock.
So are you decent? Are you decent?
Not yet, no.
Okay. Oh, so the three of you, all fine seeing each other. But
Gorvo's completely dressed, but...
Yeah, I soak clothed. I find it penetrates the skin a bit deeper if you soak entirely in your garments.
Interesting. Can bring the hot tub with you. Hot, wet clothes.
That's right. I try to never be dry.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Come in. I'm sorry. I was joking.
You see, she kind of like waves her giant hands and disperses some of the fog. And she goes,
again, you do have a little bit of time for every day in the mortal world is 5 days here. So you are, of course, welcome to rest here for the night if you'd like to get your strength back.
Yeah, I lost a lot of strength. There's a lot to be gained from taking a little rest.
Yeah, I think I'd be down with like the bare minimum that we need to stay here to get back out there.
Your body's body needs rest. Your body's mind wants to kill now. Your body will sleep and eat and replenish.
Sweet. You see, after a little bit, you guys get out of the tub. You see outside, it turns to night. It's been daytime the whole time you were here, but you see the sun goes down. The sky's got this like beautiful purple hue. Like, it just looks like a gorgeous twilight painting, and you see all the glittering stars in the sky.
We might need to sit on the porch and have a drink before bed. Yes. I'm going to have to sit outside.
Well, while we do that, I think I'm going to conjure some fire in my fingers from my little fiery key and just do, like, a little bit of scorching to get a little ash going for my dragon rose.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Yeah, okay. You see, Tarragon, as you feed your dragon rose some of this ash, and it's out here in this wild place, you see that the dragon rose is opening back up. It's not, like, fully healed and looking perfectly healthy like when you first found it, but it looks... Mm. It looks a lot better than it has for the past few days.
Does it look like I could plant it here and it would thrive?
Go ahead and give me an insight check.
17.
With a 17, you know that these groves are teeming with life. And so this rose will do well here, but its actual environment is in the ash of dragonfire.
Okay, so this little buddy needs to stick with me.
That little buddy might want to stick with you. Yeah. You see Glada is sitting out there with you guys in the twilight. You guys are drinking giant mugs of ale, and Glada's just laughing to herself.
All right, we have our tankards from the hall. Yeah.
Big beer, little guy. Look at this guy.
Pretty good.
Wet clothes, little guy, big beer.
Yeah. Check this out. I'm going to hop up over there on that porch swing.
Oh.
Whoa. Feels like a porch.
Jabari will join Corbo, and it's... it is, there's still, we are on either side and not even close.
Oh, that's a couple's swing for a giant, and you two, there could be two of you on one side, two of you on the other side. It's a quadruple swing. Wow. Remarkable.
I'm going to jump up to swing them. I have to like jump up into the air to swing them.
All right. Hey, careful, Terry. This is really fucking high up here.
I like spike them like a volleyball.
Yeah, you guys, Terry!
You guys
Christ.
Rocket 30 feet into the air on this giant swing.
Eat dirt, bitch. Sorry. Take me back to my volleyball days.
Do not unleash the dragon, not here.
Jabadi does not mind. Please, spike again.
All right, I spike just Jabari.
You spike Jabari back around, and you see Glada begins doing her ritual. You've seen her do this before. She probably showed you when you guys were staying with her in her Frost Giant village. When I say that she speaks to sprites, she doesn't like go and talk to them. You see, she has to do a ritual, and essentially she casts a magic spell and is able to gain like some knowledge from them. So you see, she's creating like a little rune circle out here, and you see she's got her like head up towards the sky, and you see all of these sprites, these yellow sprites, are flying up here, looking like stars in the sky twinkling. And as she casts her spell to kind of become one with them, you see little bits of fairy dust, this magical, like, arcane glitter going between them, like a network, almost making, like, constellations.
Wow.
Jabari wonders if we should sleep outside and fully take advantage of the beauty of this place.
Tarragon is like already finding some like grass that she can like sort of cut from so that like she can make like little like sleeping bags we can entomb ourselves in.
Sweet. Yeah, you guys make sleeping bags you can entomb yourselves in. So a tent. You make a tent.
No, they just cover our bodies. We almost look like little grass mermaids.
Right.
They only come up to the waist. They don't go all the way. Or I guess they come up to the... They go the whole way on you, but on Jabari, yeah. It's just like my belly button.
It's a great tattoo. We got to leave that torso tattoo out.
Yes, Jabari likes to let it breathe, especially before battle.
So the lawn mermaids are laying out, and you see Glada, after a little while, she's done with her ritual, walks past you all as she's getting ready to go into her cottage and go to bed, and she goes,
I have spoken to the sprites, the ones in the mortal plane near Pearl Hill have warned me that Gideon is proceeding with the plan. He is trying to hunt down the warriors who are fleeing.
Has he enlisted the armies, like in particular the toads?
The toads?
Are the toads safe?
We're pretty invested in the toads.
The cavalry is not far behind him, but is not there yet. He rode ahead. The toads are even further back.
Good.
By the time you wake up, the toads will probably be just arriving.
Okay.
It's good to get a lay of the land.
But for the most part, this has mostly been Prophet Gideon going rogue and taking down people one by one.
Got it.
Interesting. I wonder if we could try to send word to the king that Weimer is dead, and then maybe have him call off Prophet Gideon, so if the toads went home, they won't have like defected.
But the king, as Jabari has been informed, is an agent of Maxora. And is it?
Yes.
It seems maybe that she will be, say like, oh, king, it should still happen because it is what I want.
That sounds like her. Yeah, that no, that's like a good impression.
Yeah, that sounds like mine.
Jabari spent a lot of time with her. And now that Jabari knows that she is his mother, it's also, it's just like, oh, okay, so it's just...
It's a lot. It's fucked up.
It's a lot. It's very bad. Little guy, big drama.
That's good. That's
the
name of the show.
That is the name of our TLC show, yeah.
Yeah, little guy, big drama. All right. Well, I'm going to bed. It is good to see you all again.
It's good to be back.
It has been good to see you, Glada.
Yeah, it's good to, or maybe even here for the first time, right? We've never been to a grove before.
But in Glada's company. Invitation.
Yeah, in Glada's company.
You see, she smiles, she shakes her head, and she goes, "Little lawn mermaids, so funny."
I wiggle my grassy tail.
So you guys go to bed for the night.
Can I, Jabari, ask one thing before we go to bed?
Yeah.
As we're all laying there on our little lawn, in our lawn, dressed as lawn mermaids, I think Jabari looks over and is like, "Corbo, can Jabari ask you a question?"
Yeah. What's up, Jabari?
Earlier, when we were discussing, you said that you were angry at Jabari for something, but that, you know, the information that we received had changed your mind. But Jabari does not want to go into battle tomorrow thinking that something Jabari did or something Jabari could do again would upset Corpo. So Jabari just wanted to ask to know what it was that Jabari did, or we could just fight. Jabari is open to another option.
Yeah,
Kerrigan's secretly hoping for a fight.
Well, since we're already tucked in, I think we just chat it out, right?
Okay, Jabari, it's perfectly fine with Jabari.
Kerrigan lets out a disappointed sigh.
Someone just kicked my leg, and I don't think it was Jabari. I think Kerrigan's trying to start some shit.
Oh, Terragon! Terragon,
what? No, sorry, I was giving you privacy.
No, Terragon, I mean, you're more than welcome to be here. Jabari is open to fighting. I mean, it is how we did things when we were young. But Jabari knows that you are not as interested in fighting as we once were.
That's kind of what it was. That's what I was upset about. It's the senseless killing. It's the killing that doesn't need to happen that was making me upset, you know, like shooting a guard through the back of the helmet. And do you understand?
I mean, Jabari is so-so. I think there's right. a way to look at it where that is very necessary, but Jabari hears.
I'm not asking you to not kill. I'm not asking us. I don't want to not fight. I know we have to fight. I want all of it to be strategic. I want it to mean something. And, you know, everybody we kill, it seems like it's just going to be another soldier in Mama's army. So, you know, maybe it works out either way.
Yeah, that does kind of put the kibosh on area effect spells.
Yes.
Dragon's Breath and Spirit Guardians and whatnot.
Yeah, oh, so maybe instead of just killing a bunch of people, we just kill a couple monsters really good.
Yes.
Okay.
But Jabari just wants to say that, you know, if there is an opportunity where, you know, collateral damage, you know, Jabari just thinks we should take, you know, Terragon's fire breath off the table. I mean, Jabari has not seen that in years. I mean, come on.
You know,
I do feel it. Like, I do feel like a baby who needs to be burped. It's like, it's building in me. It's building in me.
I don't want us to not be the Hexbloods. That's the only reason I'm alive right now is because y'all are who y'all are. So don't hold back on anything. But
it is a good point, though, that we have to consider every body down becomes one that's fighting us.
And let's also just remember, we charged into that battle thinking we were doing justice for the king, but we were just doing the puppet's bidding. So let's not trust
Weimer
anybody except ourselves.
Shit,
yeah, Weimer, I'm not angry
right?
about Weimer.
I mean, he hated us all.
Once that guy turned and looked at me with a hate in his eyes that had nothing to do with us attacking him, I think he didn't like me for a
when
long
he
time.
Said failed experiment, yeah. The fucking dragon breath almost
there
came
go.
Out there.
That was rude.
Yes.
That was not cool.
Okay. Jabari likes, you know, where we're at. Jabari just wanted to check in. But
I appreciate clearing the air. I think we needed to do that, but I'm happy to be out here sleeping underneath the sprites. There's nobody else I'd rather do it with.
Jabari feels very much the same way. Oh, Jabari is honestly too excited to sleep. Jabari is just going to lay here.
Yeah, you've completely wiggled out of your lawn mermaid.
Well, I mean, Terragon wanted us to fight. I mean, it's like, this is the best.
I know.
All right, fuck it. I'm going to get up. Jabari, let's wrestle.
Just
let's
a
just wrestle.
Wrestle. Come on, give me a little something to watch before bed.
Wrestle.
I don't have my TV.
All right, let's do it.
Try to make opposed athletics checks.
Okay, Jabari, I'm... jeez, my body's already pretty tight from lying down. I'm not very limber. One second. Okay, that's an 18.
That's a nat 20.
Oh, my God!
I honestly wouldn't want it any other way.
Jabari, finish him.
I think Jabari, like, lets you get hands on him and then just full on, like, wraps you in a hug and, like, flips you over his back.
Not as fast as you thought you were. Oh, no! Oh, fuck!
Yes.
Just a hard judo throw, hip toss, yes. Over the side, slam Corbo down on his back. Corbo, luckily, the ground is very soft here, but you definitely get the breath knocked out of you.
I'll go right to sleep where I landed, actually. Just wake up in 6 hours.
Yeah. I build a lawn mermaid over you.
Tomorrow is going to be a great day. Yes.
Corbo transitions seamlessly from being unconscious to being asleep.
And waking up. All right.
And you guys all go to bed. You guys wake up the next day. It's pre-sunrise, about 4:30 in the morning or so. And you actually see Glada is already up. And she's once again doing her speaking to the sprites thing. It looks like she essentially took a short rest to be able to do this. Mm. And you guys remember from when you guys were staying with giants that they're just on a completely different schedule from smaller humanoids. They will sleep for 24 hours at a time. Like, they exist on a completely different clock. And then with the north, it's darker for more hours of the day. So she just did not sleep last night. At some point she will just sleep for 20 hours, but for now it looks like she has not slept. So you see, as you guys start stirring and wake up, you see a look of concern on her face as she's speaking with the sprites. You see she's kind of whispering to herself as these sprites glow in the sky. And you see she turns to you guys as you wake up and she goes, "There is a gap in their knowledge."
There's what?
In the sprites' knowledge?
She nods.
"The sprites near the gate here are not speaking to me. They're not there. Something must have happened in the past few hours."
"Have you ever had something like this happen before?"
You see, she nods.
"Some powerful followers of the Reaper can kill sprites with their presence."
Okay.
Okay, well, you know what? We're going to get right to that gate and figure it out for you.
"I will join you. I'm concerned."
Okay, before, real quick, Glada, bring it in. We're doing a closed loop hug.
Yes.
And I cast emboldening bond.
Yeah, we just learned these.
It is new. Have you tried it before?
Have I?
Jabari likes it very
have
much.
Have I hugged people before?
Yes.
Yeah, it's similar to the arm squeeze, the one arm squeeze. Oh, you have. So you know what we're talking about.
Yes.
It's a two arm squeeze.
I hug people every day. Stelios comes by, says good morning. Let's hug. We hug.
Wow.
Next person comes by, little toadstool guy. I say, "Hello, toadstool." Give him a little hug.
You hug the toadstool.
Your body is confused. Okay. You hug just anybody?
I would say I hug anywhere from 10 to 30 people a day.
That's a lot.
So you would say there's not much of a vetting process in order to hug you.
In closed loop, every single one? Not just a single arm squeeze?
Do you close the loop on every single one?
Just a regular hug, yeah.
Do you have
a blade that you make sure that they know that you, if they choose to take advantage of your kindness, that you will immediately hurt them?
That's a good question.
She puts a giant hand on all of your shoulders, just pulls you all in and goes...
We all flinch.
Yeah. What?
"I truly weep for all of you and the things that these people have made you do. If you were giant children, I would have you running around and enjoying life for the right reasons."
I mean, we kind of are giant children, right?
That is true.
Yeah. About as tall as them.
Yeah, that's true. You're giant toddlers.
Yeah.
All right, my giant toddlers, let us go see why sprites are dead.
Right.
Yes, that's true.
Sweet. So you do the closed loop hug. You cast your spell, Tarragon, or use your ability. And you guys take off towards the gate. You see Glada is, she's pretty old, so she's like a little slow, but she's got a very long gait. Like she's going pretty fast and she's able to keep up with you guys when you guys aren't running full speed. You guys get back to the area that you first arrived in the grove. You guys see the branches of this tree leaning in such a way that it creates a natural gate. It looks remarkably similar to how it did on the material plane, only it's more kind of lush with lots of overgrowth here. As you guys arrive here, go ahead and give me perception or investigation checks.
It's a 21.
18.
17, I think.
Sweet.
Yeah, or 18 as well.
Great. Great rolls all around. So I'll say you guys all see this. So you guys all rush in. You look around. Your eyes kind of like glow a little bit brighter as you use your Hexblood eyes to look around. You guys see signs of a fight here. You see arrows sticking out of the trees nearby. You see some droplets of blood on some of the leaves here and like some of the brush. And you also see the dull glow of dead sprites all around, like all around this area. Instead of glowing a bright yellow, you see their lifeless bodies are lying there, just kind of giving off a dull glow.
Can I, with Glada's permission, I want to pick one up and try to investigate if it's going to come back to life as a zombie. I have to say, like, I'm so sorry, Glada. This is just, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I real quick got to see if this little folk is going to come back.
You see, she looks upset, not at you, just at the scene. You see, she shakes her head and she goes, "These sprites are pure trickster magic. These ones will not come back. There may be a way to corrupt them, but I don't think it's like this."
Okay.
You guys do, however, hear raspy breathing nearby.
Oh, we rush over to the breathing.
Yeah.
You rush over to the breathing and you find, you see that some of the bushes here have a little bit of trail of blood on them. It looks like the blood was coming from this person who has like run a little deeper into the woods. And you find Stalios here.
Stalios.
With an arrow
hey, Santor.
Stuck in their ribs, hiding in the brush, injured and bleeding out, still alive, but very, very hurt.
Can I cast Cure Wounds on them?
You can.
Okay, that'll be 12.
Okay.
12 draconic fiery healing.
You see, Stalios was at the level of wounded where they were just kind of trying to stay conscious and concentrate on their breathing. So when you run over, they don't even really acknowledge you. They're just like staring forward, kind of trying to steady their breath. As soon as you cast Cure Wounds, they're more grievous wounds start to heal. You see the arrows are pushed back as you like put your hands on the horse lower half of their body. You see the arrows come out and you see Stalios kind of jolts back to life and goes, "Thank you. I thought I was lost. I was so pissed at you guys for bringing a plus one here, but now you've brought me back and I owe you a great deal."
What happened here? Who breached this gate and are they our plus ones? Did we open the gate for them?
There was a strange man with a ghost head.
Oh, fuck.
That came through the gate.
What? We were about to go out there and look for him, but I guess, okay, so we don't have to, we can hang in the grove,
I guess. You see, Glada looks confused and she goes,
"But he would not come here without an army. Why would he?"
And you hear Stalios go, "He came in by himself. Our scouting party tried to stop him, but as soon as he killed one of us, he did some kind of necromancy that brought them back as undead. The tides turned quickly and I was shot by one of my former allies. The rest of us had to retreat, but the big one didn't follow, and I told the rest to go on without me."
So there's going to be some undead centaurs?
Stalios nods solemnly. And guys, go ahead and give me insight checks.
Damn it.
It's going to be a nat one. Oh, but I rerolled that because I'm a halfling.
There it is.
4.
That's a 24.
14 for Javari.
Corbo, it kind of occurs to you that if Prophet Gideon were to come here, he probably couldn't do much long-term damage because there are other people here. Like, this was just the scouting party of the centaurs. If there was a whole army of them, you assume there's lots of other people that occupy this grove. Gideon wouldn't come in here unless he had a plan. But it does occur to you, with that high of an insight check, that if he was having trouble chasing down these fleeing soldiers, having some people on his side that were great archers and were literally as fast as a horse would be pretty fucking helpful.
Oh, so he came and he scooped and he's gone.
Usually I like a scoop.
You see Stalios throws their hands up and goes, I don't know. All I know is he didn't follow.
Can I do some kind of like insight or arcana check to try to figure out if we kill these undead centaurs, are they going to then become zombies again? Or like, does it loop or is
no,
it for
you good? No, you know right off the bat that once a zombie is destroyed, they're down.
Stalios, permission to take your fallen party members out of a position where they're doing harm to others.
Yes, please bring them to rest.
It'd be a mercy.
And I owe you for healing me, so let me give something back to you. And you see they reach out and touch your cheek.
I flinch.
You flinch? What?
What?
What? I'm just
not used
casting
to it.
A spell on you? Is this okay?
Yes, please do. Sorry.
They do some kind of magical touch that gives you your spell slot back. That gives you your cure wounds back.
Ah, cool.
Well, it occurs to Jabari that maybe if Gideon has left with this new fleet of soldiers, we should hurry.
Yeah, we should make like centaurs.
Yes. You see Glada shakes her head and she goes,
I am sorry, I had not considered that he might dip in and dip out.
We didn't consider the dip. None of us did.
Didn't consider the dip.
I just want to say, now that I have access to the grove, I will never dip in and dip out like that. I just think that's so rude.
It's just wrong.
Yeah.
I'll always say hi. Yes.
I will always take a bath. I will never come here and not take a sauce.
I will always strip for the war tub.
Say hi. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will take Stalios back to my cottage and help them heal up. In the meantime, we will warn the other centaurs. If anything goes wrong again, we will be prepared this time. Gideon will not be met with a scouting party.
Hell yeah.
All right. I guess do we just kind of jump out?
Yeah.
Yeah, just run at the hole and
yeah.
Corbo just jumped in place. Oh, jump over. Yeah, jump over there.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. Well, you have to go through the little gate.
Please, I know. All right.
Do it gracefully. This is a beautiful place. Don't just run through it.
I do an aerial cartwheel.
I swan dive through the portal while whistling for my dog.
Jabari's going to do a back handspring just straight through that hole.
I do some of like that little gymnastics posing that they do in between impressive moves right before.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Lake is going to do a misty flip.
You see, Lake misty flips through the gate, and the rest of you guys do your various acrobatic dances.
Good girl.
So you emerge on the other side of this natural gate and appear back in Outerborough. You feel the cold air hit you immediately, this unforgiving landscape, very different than the sort of magically enhanced beauty of the other place.
Oh, fuck, I'm still wet.
You're going to catch a cold. You're going
to
catch a cold.
I try to get, no. I do some little fire on you.
Oh, nice. All right, thank you.
I only catch a little bit of your ponytail on fire.
Hey!
It feels like you're wearing freshly steamed clothes, just hot and a little bit wet still, just moist.
Perfect.
You guys do, as soon as you guys come out here, you hear yells coming from the direction of the war camp and the direction of the town of Pearl Hill itself. And you guys can actually see some flames coming there, but you can't see much else while you're out in the woods.
Okay. Well, let's run towards the yelling and the flames.
Sweet.
Yes, yes.
You guys run out of the woods, and you see that Pearl Hill is in chaos. You see, the war camp has mostly been abandoned. Some of the forces, it looks like, maybe stayed behind to fight, but that has only led to kind of more destruction. You see, they're caught in this kind of endless struggle fighting zombified versions of their allies. You see, in the war camp, it's not like a lot of fighting, but you do see the few guards who stayed behind here in the camp are being overwhelmed by various undead. You see wraiths and phantoms and zombies. The scene here is grim, but it actually looks like most of the fighting is going on in the town itself. And from the sounds of it, it seems like Gideon's got a pretty big fighting force. You can deduce that maybe Gideon started there and turned some of the townsfolk to add to his forces. It doesn't seem like he succeeded in turning everyone, obviously, but their numbers are growing. You see that in the town, the giant ivory tower has caught fire, as have some of the other buildings in the town. You see that there are people on like horseback fleeing the town. You see other people and families just grabbing their belongings and running. You see one guard is taking off out of the war camp, and you see a zombified centaur just comes out from behind a tent and quickly puts two arrows in his back.
Just real quick, that was sick though, right?
That's a good way to go.
Jabari can appreciate
that dude. The elegance. That dude screams it. God is never going to believe this. As it goes down. You see the fighting in the camp, and from what you can see of the town, looks to be Gideon and the undead versus Weimer's forces. The kind of ones that stuck around to make a stand. It looks like fully like three quarters of the army has like kind of fled. And there's just a few people here kind of trying to fight. It looks like he just ran in with the centaurs, rose some allies, and is just like chipping away at them. As far as Thurston Brightleap's forces go, you see some of them are out here in the field. These are the people that you marched with. This is the cavalry. You see in the valley before the camp, these knights on horseback have arrived, the ones who are being led by Gideon. They are looking on in awe and are kind of looking conflicted. And you see that as you guys approach, as you guys run out of the woods, you see Sir Reynard is arguing with one of the knights. And you see one of the knights kind of just like pushes Reynard and then points to him and gestures to the other knights and goes, "We have orders. We put traitors to the sword." And Reynard responds and goes, "You speak of fighting alongside the dead. We must band together." The other knight is just yelling about, "It's better than fighting alongside a traitor." And so it looks like keeping Reynard alive has stopped the cavalry from joining Prophet Gideon right off the bat. But they are in a heated argument about what to do, and there's kind of like no leadership here. Just Reynard is trying to take control, has some respect from these guys because he used to lead them, but left to go with Weimer. This other hotshot dude is trying to say, "We need to go in there and help Prophet Gideon." And they are fighting back and forth.
All right. Can I just go up and slap him across the face?
Who?
The guy trying to say that he's going to fight Reynard.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. All right. Corvo, go ahead and make an attack roll.
Okay. Nah, all right, that's a dirty 20, not net.
A dirty 20? Yeah, you see this dude is turned around yelling at Sir Reynard as these knights kind of stand around not knowing what to do. You tap him on the shoulder, he turns around, you just fucking pop him one. You are a monk, so this is not a regular slap. This, like, straight up strikes him down. He, like, falls off his horse and starts groaning. And you see Sir Reynard looks up and goes, "You're back."
Yeah, sorry. That guy needed a hard reset, okay? Everybody, look into your heart.
You unplugged him.
Yeah. Listen to yourself, and you'll know your new orders. There's the dead fighting the living, all right? You don't need orders from a king to know what's right to do here. Listen to this fucking wiener guy. Sorry, Reynard.
I'm not a wiener.
Yeah, that is debatable.
Yeah.
Look at what this turned into. Look what this ghost head dude is doing.
Yeah, no, you're right. We're not on his side. We're not on his side.
I think we all want a piece of that ghost head guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
While this is going on, can Tarragon be starting to blow more and more smoke out of her nostrils until like smoky like shapes of dragons surround her as my spirit guardians?
Sure, yeah.
And it says spirit guardians, when you cast it, you can designate any number of creatures you can see to be unaffected by it. Can I say that like only zombies and Prophet Gideon can be affected by it?
Yes, certainly.
Cool.
Okay, so Corbo, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to have you roll with advantage. I'm going to have Gideon roll with disadvantage. We're going to do your persuasion versus his intimidation.
Oh, wow.
His intimidation is very fucking good, but he'll roll with disadvantage. So this is, you guys are right in front of him. This war camp looks like bad news. The Hexbloods are, you know, legendary warriors. Reynard was at one time the leader of these dudes. So let's see who these guys want to fight for.
My persuasion's only a plus one, but I rolled a 16, so that's okay. A 17.
I swear to God, he has a plus 10 to intimidation. I rolled a 7. That's a 17. That's a roll off.
That actually, I could roll my emboldening bond from Tarragon.
Close the loop.
Close the damn loop.
Let's close the loop. That's a 4. That's a 4.
That's a 4.
That's the highest I can roll on.
That's a 21. Yeah, you see the knights look around. They see this one dude who really wanted to defend the Prophet Gideon on the floor.
He's having a rethink about it.
Yeah,
though.
just got fucking knocked off his horse and face planted.
Knocked off his high horse.
They see this terrible stuff that's going on in the war camp and in the town. And you see one of them just looks up and goes, "If a knight of Outerborough has to think hard to choose between fighting alongside the Hexbloods or fighting alongside the dead, then perhaps we aren't real Knights of Outerborough." You hear like murmurs of kind of agreement amongst them.
Tarragon tries to look like really serious, but when he said the part about fighting alongside the Hexbloods, she lets out a really big smile.
Jabari is just beaming this whole time. It's just a big... It's nothing. It's Jabari's not even trying to be intimidating. I'm just excitement.
And you see, so you've got these like lines of knights here. And you see, after a bit, you see the toads. You see dozens of foot soldiers
hopping along,
marching down the main road. Took longer to get here than it looks like the cavalry's been here for a little bit. But as they start to make their way onto the battlefield, you see Lieutenant Brython on his horse rides towards you and salutes and goes, "Captain Jabari, I kept the toads nice and dry for you."
Okay, I do not believe that is what Jabari asked.
"There was a little pond and other people, yes. The knights went and took a shower, but we stayed dry, sir. Dry and crusty, oh, just like you, yes. Like us, sir."
No.
Jabari does not like you that way. Jabari likes you hydrated. I feel like this was a whole thing we had.
No, we talked about the hydration. We didn't say anything, yes, about showering, sir. We stayed hydrated, much to my chagrin.
Jabari is glad. Change is slow, so we'll take this victory. But I'm glad you are here. Jabari would like you to stay with the cavalry. The Prophet Gideon has become a bad man, and we are no longer fighting alongside him.
Yes, he kind of forced me to tell on you guys, sir.
Ah, that's what happened. You have literally not stopped saluting Jabari since you got here.
Yes, I'm scared of everyone, sir. Scared of Jabari, scared of the Prophet Gideon. I'm scared, sir.
If you,
I'm just a little toad.
If you want to go home, little toad, you can go home.
I can go home?
You can just go home. I don't want you to be in.
Are you going to stay back and lead all the foot soldiers? Do you need it?
Dary will do it.
I'm just worried.
Sir Reynard kind of leans in and goes, "Please don't send him home."
No, he should stay. He needs to stay.
All right.
But it's kind
of. Yeah, you know what? You'll find your confidence on the battlefield, I'm sure.
You're a big bullfrog. Don't you worry.
Sir Reynard walks forward and he joins you guys and he goes, "If you all can do what you do and get in there and face Gideon, I can try to set up a perimeter and try to stop the spread. They're thriving in this chaos."
Right.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It is what the Hexbloods do. We cut off the head, so it is what we will do.
Yeah.
You see Sir Reynard rallies the foot soldiers to start like making a perimeter to surround the town, like the soldiers and the knights. You see the front lines start putting their shields up. You see some of these knights have like big tower shields. They start lining up behind you and then start like spreading out to be able to make a circle around the town. You've got this moving shield wall behind you As you guys go towards the town, and you see from behind them, knights on horseback have like crossbows and there are archers up there ready to shoot arrows. You see archers in the back begin shooting volleys of arrows, and you see a wave of zombies and ghouls in the war camp collapse as nice. You all march forward.
Jabari wonders if we should approach Pearl Hill stealthily, that we might get to Gideon as quickly as possible and avoid meaningless killing. Yes, as you would like.
Yeah.
Stealth in, right. And as I'm saying that, Lake is just running around with the studded staff in her mouth, banging the shield.
And I'm like, yeah, let's stealth. And then I'm surrounded by all of these smoky dragons.
Hey there, Nadpoles. Did you know that about 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgot about? Truly, even if you think you have your number of subscriptions under control, you might as well check out Rocket Money. Just to be sure, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings, folks. With Rocket Money, you got full control over all of your subscriptions and a clear view of those expenses. You can see all your subscriptions in one place, so if there's anything you don't want, Rocket Money will help you cancel it with just a few taps. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate your bills lower for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They will deal with customer service and all those AI chatbots so you don't have to. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and it's saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions. That is saving their members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Factor. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. You can check out their menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto Friendly. Folks, their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart your new routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from, every week you'll always have new flavors to explore. So make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy and nutritious options. And also keep that kitchen time to a minimum. Factor's meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So that's no shopping, no prepping, no cooking or cleaning up. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Head on over to factormeals.com/pawpaw50 and use the code pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code pawpaw50 at factormeals.com/pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Thank you, everybody.
Sneaking in, right.
As you guys run through the war camp, you've got these lines of soldiers behind you. You've got the foot soldiers in front holding up shields. You've got behind them knights with crossbows and then archers behind them. You've got lines going behind you. You guys run forward and start dipping into tents, like rushing through the war tents as you head towards the town. Go ahead and give me one stealth check in the war tent and one as you get into town.
14.
Minus 16.
Okay.
Mine is a dirty 20.
I will go ahead and do a luck check. I will say on a 1 through a 5, it's a centaur who's going to be looking around. That's an 18. There are just regular zombies here. They do not have good perception.
No, they don't.
They are, you see a bunch of them engage the front lines of foot soldiers who Reynard is able to like keep calm. And you see that this like organized line of soldiers has a much better chance against the undead than people who are being like ambushed in a camp.
Do not break the line.
So they're trying to kind of keep the line. So you guys can continue to rush forward. As you guys get into the town itself, there's all this chaos around you. You see like townsfolk trying to fight off zombies using like crossbows and things like that. You see other people are just running away. You see some of Weimer's forces, some of the knights and stuff, looks like they came in and tried to save the townsfolk, look like they're, you know, fighting amongst the zombies here. Go ahead and give me a perception check first.
Ooh,
shout
baby,
out to the two crew.
Beautiful.
Perception is a 12 from Jabari.
I got a 27.
A 27, okay. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Tarragon, you with your dragon eyes start looking through the town, and you see that this white tower is engulfed in flames, and you see through the fire, Prophet Gideon emerges, tossing down two dead guards, like dudes that he just cut down. And then you see he produces a small bell, and you guys, even far away, over the sounds of battle, you hear this little ding, ding, ding.
Bell.
And you see those two guards rise and come to life. Tarragon tips you off to where Gideon is. Guys, go ahead and give me stealth checks.
Oh my god, I rolled so well again.
That is going to be a 23, and we'll throw an emboldening bond on there to make it a 27.
I got a 27 as well.
Okay.
I got a 20. I got a 29.
Yeah!
I rolled an 18. Yeah! I got a 2 on my emboldening bond, and I have a plus 9 to stealth.
The Hexbloods are back. The
Hex they disappear.
Corbo is slapping people, all right?
Slap happy.
Tarragon is breathing fire. We're back.
So you guys are stealthing. Go ahead and let me know how you want to approach Gideon here. You hear the sounds of the marching army, and you begin to see in all directions. It looks like there's four lines, like they're essentially creating a box and trying to like box in this town square. So you do see that there are a lot of zombies in here, a lot of like ghouls and various undead. It looks very bad. Like pretty much all of the living that are in here, the ones that aren't gonna like make it to the line and be able to escape, are just gonna add numbers to the undead. What do you guys want to do with Gideon here?
Jabari wonders, should we come down on Gideon from above, or is it just going to be we run at him?
I'm tempted to try to just get a bestow curse in on him, even though that would undo my spirit guardians, because if I could bestow curse on him and give him disadvantage on con saves, we could just really have a good chance of stunning him.
Jabari will say that if Jabari is able to cast Hex on him from 90 feet, the target has disadvantage on ability checks of a chosen ability.
Oh, awesome. So I don't even have to. Sweet.
Yes, you. Jabari does not...
Good, because I actually really like these smoke dragons.
Yes. Jabari is excited to see them again. So
this is like a cleric thing, so I've actually never really combined the two, so it's kind of cool. I feel like I just met them.
Yes, this is great.
Okay, yeah. Let's. How about we just try to get a surprise round? You go to town.
That would be ideal.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Let's
just close round him like a closed loop hug.
Yes. We will hug the Prophet Gideon with violence.
Why don't we go ahead and roll initiative?
24.
My initiative is 15.
That's an 18 from Jabari.
All right. So let's say this. Let's go into initiative. And Jabari, great. You can get your hex off on your turn.
Great. Okay.
So first in initiative at 24 is Corbo.
So Corbo's just going to walk into the town square swinging his studded staff and try to catch Gideon on the ghost chin like an uppercut.
Corbo, you pop out of the shadows with a plus 10 of perception and rolling a natural 19. He got a 29. You see Gideon turns and just looks at you right in the eye and goes, "Traitor. I was told to put traitors to the sword." You see, draws his great sword. Go ahead and make your attack. You beat him in initiative.
Okay.
But this is not with advantage. This is not a surprise round. It's a full-on fucking fight.
Okay. I love that you let us really believe that we got it.
I thought he was like, "You're going to get your hex in on your turn."
I imagined it kind of being an anime moment where it's like you pop out of the bushes, but then like the dude just grabs you by
and
the neck.
Just like...
Yeah.
And that is what happened.
You beat him in initiative, though. So you still get to attack, but you get the sense that you've beaten him to the jump, but he saw you.
All right.
It's just in initiative. We're out of surprise.
That's a nat 20.
Whoa!
Corbo's first, I think.
You got startled into critting. Who needs a fucking surprise round when you crit?
He expects you to flinch because he's used to people being intimidated by him.
Look at you. You saw me eat hordes and
Yeah.
And just without missing a beat, just keep swinging.
All right. 15 damage on my first attack.
Okay.
All right. Now I'll take my second attack. That's a 21.
21. You see, this one, he gets closer to blocking, but is still too slow. Big, heavy armor, huge greatsword, goes to swing it back around. You just dodge and move in the other direction and swing around and crack him across the face again.
That's 10 damage on that one.
10 damage.
Corbo is bad.
And then I'm going to holster my quarterstaff, lower my plague doctor mask, and try to hit him with some unarmed blows.
Ooh.
Yes.
Flurry of blows?
Yeah, flurry of blows coming, and I'm going to use a key point to use hand to harm, which is an extra d8.
Okay.
First blow is only 16, 17.
17 misses. You go to swing on him. You see he just lowers his shoulder and eats it in the pauldron. You just punch metal.
All right, let's try it with
how did that feel?
Not perfect, but I'll try it with my right. That's a 22 to hit.
That super hits.
Great, and I'll use a hand of harm on that.
Okay.
19 damage.
Let's go. Let's go, boom. Corbo.
I turn and I wink at Jabari, but I'm wearing my plague doctor mask, so we can't see it. But just know that it happened.
He looked at me. He looked at Jabari. Jabari
I'm trying
does not
to understand
why.
It, and I really can't, honestly.
Lower
the mask.
Like pinching the eye.
You see, as this dude turns around in a plague doctor mask and just stares forward, Prophet Gideon uses a legendary action to swing a greatsword down on him so fucking hard. Oh,
no. Jabari's focus, Corbo! Focus!
That's 25 to hit, and that's 26 damage.
All right.
Okay, he's good with the sword, everyone. He's good with the sword.
At initiative 20, that is the lair action. Here is how this battle is going to work. We are going to roll a contested D12 versus D12. This roll is between the humans and the undead. If the undead win, a number of zombie warriors will appear equal to the difference. So if the undead wins 10 to 6, 4 undead will appear around you guys. You guys won't have to take out each one. They will just be attacks that happen every single round. If the humans win, they will pick off a number of undead equal to the difference. So human wins result in the picking off of zombies and keeping the battlefield clear. Undead wins lead to them growing in number. Their bonuses are decided by how much you guys want to help the humans. So they get plus one if you want to donate an attack, like essentially attack like the horde of zombies, or a plus one per beneficial spell or ability.
Got it.
I will also say, since we're not doing this in the traditional sense, Tarragon, your spirit guardians will have that count as a plus one, as a consistent, while you keep concentration going, as a consistent beneficial thing to the people around you. Because you see, there's zombies around you.
Yeah, that's why I called them, was to try and fuck up some zombies.
The guardians are already like fighting, cutting down these phantom warriors and things like that.
So just to get a good image, everywhere I go, there are smoky dragons fighting zombies.
Whoa, hell yeah. Yes, smoke dragons are fighting everybody. So while you have concentration, they already get a plus one. The undead, their modifier is going to be decided by new events every round.
I got something for the undead.
So let's go ahead and for this lair action, go ahead and roll a contested D12. Who wants to roll a D12 for the humans?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Yes.
I will roll mine. You guys get a plus one. Right now, the undead have a plus zero. Six.
Five. Plus one is six.
That's a roll off.
That's zero. Roll off? That's nothing.
Oh, it's zero.
That's nothing. Okay. No new zombies are brought into it. The two guards that Gideon brought up as you guys entered the field are going to get attacks, but that's it. It's just going to be two attacks. So they will go after I've got a cup full of dice in here, and they are color-coded to see who the random attacks hit. Going after Tarragon and Jabari.
Okay.
The Tarragon one hits. Okay. Tarragon, you are slashed by a Phantom Warrior for 11 damage.
Okay.
You also see three of Weimer's knights, three undead knights on horseback. A couple of them have broken lances, begin charging across the town with reckless abandon towards the front lines here. And if those dudes make it there on horseback, they are just going to crash in and cause, like, you know, untold chaos that's going to add to the undead's roll. You guys choose how you deal with that, or if you just deal with Gideon. Jabari, that is your turn.
Okay. I mean, okay. That's a lot to think about.
Jabari, just go after Prophet Gideon. I think I have some stuff for the undead. We'll regroup next turn.
Jabari likes that plan. Jabari is going to run his hand along the edge of his own blade, cut his hand, grab his bow, whisper my blood for his, and cast Hex on Prophet Gideon.
Hell yes.
Giving him disadvantage on constitution saving throws and adding a d6 of necrotic damage my attacks against
him. So Jay,
him.
Get in there with stunning strikes. Because he has disadvantage on saves for that.
And I will make two attacks against the Prophet Gideon.
Sweet.
First one is going to be a 21 to hit.
21 to hit hits.
Second one is going to be a 16 to hit.
16 misses. You see he swats around. You see as soon as he gets hit with the one arrow, he swings around and swats the arrow away with an iron gauntlet.
I'll get him next time. So that's 1d8. I'll spend a key point for a death strike, 2d8, and then a d6 from the hex.
Nice.
17 points of damage.
Nice.
Yeah.
Attack.
I think Tarragon hasn't heard Jabari say my blood for his in a while, and it's almost like hearing your favorite song that you haven't heard in a while.
Still slaps.
She mouths along the last part of it with
Jabari is still playing the hits.
Take him for a ride.
You see, at the end of Jabari's turn, the Prophet Gideon smiles a big ghostly smile at Jabari, holds his hand up, clenches his fist, and uses a legendary action to summon another Phantom Warrior around him. You see, he's got three. That is Tarragon's turn.
Okay. I want to run in. These Phantom Warriors are undead, right?
Correct.
I want to run in so that Prophet Gideon and these three Phantom Warriors all take my Spirit Guardians.
The Phantom
Guardians.
Warriors just count towards the lair actions.
Well, I want to channel Divinity Turn Undead.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And it's like, it's 30 feet, everyone 30 feet, or everyone that can hear you within 30 feet of you. So I want to focus on getting these three guys.
Great. Prophet Gideon cannot be frightened, but these other guys are going to roll wisdom saves. First one gets a 10.
Fails.
Second one gets a 5.
Fails.
Third one gets a 16.
That is the save. So
that one passes.
Yeah.
You see, as Tarragon runs in, glowing with holy energy, you see, as soon as she gets near two of these Phantom Warriors, you see her spirit guardians, these smoke dragons, breathe fire, and you see whoosh, two of these Phantom Warriors dissipate and are gone.
Bye.
And anyone who, and then Prophet Gideon and anyone who is staying does a save or takes 19 damage. 19 radiant damage.
Shit. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Prophet Gideon gets a 21.
That saves.
Other dude gets a 16.
16 is the save.
Okay.
On a successful save, they take half damage. So they each take, I'm assuming you round down, 9 radiant.
Okay.
That's how you use a damn turn.
Tarragon, at the end of your turn, did you run right up to Gideon or just near him? You did.
Right. Okay. I ran like right up in the mix of them.
Sweet. He's going to go ahead and take a legendary action to make an attack against you then.
I was trying to get your attention.
You successfully annoyed me.
Are you blushing?
Nat 20.
What?
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Boo. I don't enjoy this. I don't enjoy a nat 20s
from
my enemy.
You're going to crit on a lady?
How dare
you,
sir?
Just a nice woman who runs a plant shop?
I treat you equally.
You're going to crit. Okay, yep. There is. That's
I'm a feminist.
You crit on a botanist.
I think you're perfectly capable. I actually think that there should be more women in places of, villainy. I actually think you should join us.
You know, I don't disagree, because when there's a villainous man, I can't be attracted to him. But when there's a villainous woman, I can, you know?
He does 46 damage to you.
Yeah, you can't be attracted to that at all.
Oh, man.
Okay, so let me figure out. I haven't taken this much damage. Janetta, do a concentration check in a while. So I need to hit 46. I need to hit a 23 with my concentration check,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, correct.
So I need to crit.
Let's do it.
He just did.
Let's crit.
You're due.
Let's crit. Let's crit. It's a Tuesday. Let's crit. Or Wednesday.
No, I didn't. Oh, my spirit guardians go away. No, I said I didn't.
Okay, that was a very excited didn't.
Yeah. It was just so funny to see a 7 and a 12 when I was hoping for a 20.
So you guys see these smoky dragons drop as Gideon delivers this staggering blow.
I spit out bloody smoke and I say, okay, so that's what your attention feels like.
Then that is Gideon's turn. Gideon
wasn't even his turn.
Gonna go ahead and take 3 attacks on Tarragon.
My God.
Okay.
I really just think she's really strong and capable, so.
I'm so scared. This man is the minimum. Don't groan, Murph.
2 28s and a 23.
One of the 28s hits. I'm just kidding. They all hit.
75 damage, Tarragon.
Oh my God, I'm so down. Tarragon coughs up way more smoke, lands to her knees, and then like falls forward onto her face.
You guys see Tarragon goes down.
All right.
After Prophet Gideon, Corbo, that is your turn.
So Terry is lying in a heap by Prophet Gideon's feet.
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to take both my attacks on Prophet Gideon.
Okay.
And then, well, I got a plan for you. Don't worry, Terry.
Oh, I'm not worried.
I am.
I'm not worried. I'm unconscious.
I'm nothing. That is a 28 and a 21 to hit on my attacks.
You hit on both.
So 19 damage.
Okay.
And then I'm going to use a key point to flurry of blows. One of those hands, let's call it my right, I'm going to unglove it and just sort of pat Terry, and that's going to be a healing, a hand of mercy.
Okay.
For 9 hit points to Terry.
Okay.
I am getting way too used to your mercy.
Yeah, well, it's always going to be here for you, but I hope you don't need it again. And then I am going to take with my left just a slap at old Gideon, and that is a 22 to hit.
That hits. Tarragon has just been knocked down. He's just like swung and cut through her. You roll in front of her with one healing palm, slam into her and jolt her back to life. And with the other arm, go for like an uppercut on Gideon.
Yeah, that's 100% what I did.
You're like touching your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time.
Multitasking.
But with healing and harming.
And I'm going to use a key point to try to make one of those melee attacks a stunning strike on Gideon.
Okay.
So he's got to roll a DC 16.
Okay.
DC 16, and he's rolling with disadvantage.
Okay. I will tell you guys, he has a +9 to con saving throws.
Okay. Cool. You could still fucking fail. You could still fail.
Disadvantage because of hex?
Disadvantage. Right. Okay.
The hex way.
That's a 15. You successfully stunned the Prophet Gideon. Only,
hell yeah.
Only because of hex.
Needed some good news today.
Yeah,
there it is.
That's huge, too, because that means no fucking legendary
actions. No legendary actions?
Yes.
Wow. You know what? Turning undead was a waste of time. I should have just stunned this motherfucker. I look at Prophet Gideon, like, with bleary, I just woke up from being unconscious eyes, and they just, like, my little irises just, like, zero in on him.
Did she just blink the wrong way?
You see his legs look super wobbly, and he goes,
as soon as I get my legs back under me, you're done.
He's stunned. That is a good thing.
It's an awesome thing.
Here is a very bad thing. Those three undead knights with their lances out, on undead horses, just recklessly slam into the front line of humans. You hear Reynard yelling, keep the line, don't let them break through. Guys, go ahead and roll me a d12. They get plus 6 this time.
Oh, I hate this. That's a 6.
They got a 10, plus 2 for each knight that got through. So you see 10 ghosts.
Oh, dear.
Pop up. That means there are 11 total. So there are going to be 11 attacks during this lair action here. We'll do 4 attacks on Tarragon, 4 attacks on Corbo, and 3 attacks on Jabari.
Corbo.
Unreal.
These dudes are not as good as Gideon, obviously. These dudes are little weenie guys. So Jabari, you suddenly have 3 of these like wraiths around you swinging down on you with spectral swords. 1 hit, only 5 damage.
Okay.
Next, 4 go after Corbo. Corbo, you are swarmed by all of these undead phantom warriors. Only 1 hit.
All right.
And that is also 5 damage to you.
Cool.
Tarragon, you are swarmed by 4 phantom warriors.
Mm-hmm.
You are hit twice. You are hit for 10 and for 5 for 15.
I'm back down.
You guys see Tarragon drops.
What? I say what as I...
You guys also see on this lair action, you see 2 undead centaurs emerge from the fires of the town. You see they've got grievous mortal wounds that should have downed them, now filled up with coagulated blood. You see they pull out bows and aim up for some kind of magical volley of arrows. You see they are charging for some type of magical attack. It looks like they're concentrating on something that will go off next round. So if you'd like, you could try to break their concentration.
Fuck you, Merv. All we're going to do is go after Gideon. Stop trying to distract us with little toys.
That is Jabari's turn. Jabari, you see Gideon is just seeing stars right now.
Oh, I hate this.
I'm rattled. They hit me right on the button. He hit me on the button.
Well, for sure, Jabari will sharpen the blade on his bow, pull his bow out.
You guys do see, by the way, your attacks on Prophet Gideon have hurt him. He does not look like he's on death's door, but he is, you know, he's seeing stars. He's got a couple arrows in him. He's taken a couple hard shots. He is nowhere near full health.
He's stunned. Right. You'll get advantage on all your attacks against
him.
Ooh,
that's true.
Is it advantage on all attacks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow.
Every single one.
Well, I mean, we got to sharpen the blade. We got to, even surrounded with everything and Tarragon going down. Jabari's going to pull out
her
his
last
bow.
Word was what?
Yes.
Put that on her tombstone. Remember.
Yes, Jabari thinks of Tarragon's last words and whispers to himself, this will be the answer. And is going to, I'll fire on the Prophet Gideon with advantage, sharpshooter, so minus 5,
okay.
12, minus 5 is 7.
Okay.
25.
Hits.
On the first one.
Okay.
A 26.
Hits.
So, nice.
2 hits. That's 2d8. That's 2d6. I'll spend key points on both of them to make them both death strikes, adding another set of d8s, plus 20 damage already.
That's a lot of that's a lot of dice,
I feel like the
baby.
Number you roll is going to be middle-aged.
And that's going to be 43 damage on the Prophet.
Yeah!
Whoa! He looks hurt. You hit arrow directly in the neck of his ghost head. You see it sticks there, and you get another one like under the breastplate, like where his ribs would be, and you see he staggers back and lets out a grunt. Looks pretty hurt.
Jabari full-on, vest is off. Jabari full-on lets the vest fall as he prepares to do it again.
You hear whoops from the humans who are all cheering, Jabari the Safari! The vest is off.
Yes, yes, it is time for the ride.
You hear Sir Reynard going, if Jabari is going shirtless, it means you must hold the line.
The idea of when we call him Jabari the Safari and then talk about his vest, it makes me think of one of those photographer's vests that has a ton of pockets all over it.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of knickknacks in there.
That is Tarragon's turn. Tarragon, go ahead and give me a death saving throw.
18.
18 passes. Right. You see, that is the Prophet Gideon's turn. Prophet Gideon is super hurt, but is not able to do anything that turn because of the stun. But you see, he gets his legs back under him, takes a steady stance, and steadies his sword, and looks at you, Corbo, and goes, you're going to die for that one.
Good, good. Stand still so I can hit you again.
And Corbo, that is your turn.
All right. I'm going to take both gloves off.
Yes, yes, Corbo, both gloves.
I'm actually going to rub my knuckle on the hard ground to draw blood.
Ooh.
And look at Jabari and look back at Prophet Gideon and say, my blood for yours.
Yes!
And I'll take both my attacks.
You hear the toads in the back go, Corbo's getting back into it. He's getting back into it.
Yes, he is.
Stay dry.
He's full in.
Stay dry, toads.
Kerrigan spits the line. Up blood, and it sounds like she says, my blood for yours. But it might just be a death rattle.
Is that a death rattle, or is he saying something inspirational?
That is a 21 and a 20.
Jesus.
Yes.
Both hit.
17 damage.
Still alive. Extremely hurt.
And then I get one attack. But it's only an 18, so I don't think I'm going to hit.
18 does hit.
Wow. I do. Yes. That is my max damage. That's a 13 on that hit.
Okay.
I'm going to use a key point to use Hand to Harm.
Okay.
Which is a D8 plus 4. Is he that close, or should I be using a stunning strike?
Corbo, with your last strike, you feel this fire inside of you. A reminder of the violence of the Hexbloods. What do you do with your last strike?
This one's for my buds. I'm taking you on a ride, and I'm gonna try to hit him.
Okay.
Oh fuck yeah! Come on. It's 12.
Corbo, finish him.
Yes.
I think I want to grab Prophet Gideon by both of his shoulders and say, you know what? This is going to feel... And then right as I'm giving my speech, Lake just jumps up and bites his ghost head off of his face.
Yeah, you see Lake does her like blink dog thing and goes right through his face. You see there is this... boom, as his ghost disperses, you see his armor dents in, and you see Prophet Gideon falls to the ground.
Damn it, Lake, I was going to do a really cool speech. All right, good girl.
So here's what I will say. Gideon was the one raising the undead, but the humans have lost a bunch of rounds, so they can still be overwhelmed by the zombies that are here. We're going to continue doing these contested roles until you guys can clear out the undead. Otherwise, your forces have been overtaken. So you see, on the lair action, you see these two undead centaurs do manage to get up their magical volley of arrows, and you see explosions go off amongst the lines of fighters here. You see a couple dudes in armor like fly off horses and fly back as a bunch of zombies are like crawling over the line and killing people. Guys, go ahead and roll me a d12.
All right, I'll roll this one. Seven.
Only a 9. So two more pop up.
Great. Just two more ghosts.
There are 13 of these ghosts around you guys.
Like fucking flies.
7 on Corbo, 6 on Jabari.
Lucky number 7.
Oh my god.
720s?
Oh my god, yes.
No hits on Jabari.
Oh my god.
Jabari just super speed, just full Hexblood mode, just dodging out of the way, anime style, as yes. All these spectral swords slash at him. That is 6 going after Corbo here. 3 hits on Corbo. 20 damage total.
All right.
during the lair action, you see this next thing that is about to go up against the humans here. You see two, they're called fragules. You see these two zombie monsters whose muscles are expanding to superhuman strength, just unnatural surges of adrenaline bounding across the battlefield like a cheetah. You know these things will explode quickly and cause a ton of damage. They are hard to hit because of their insane temporary dexterity boost, but if you hit them once, they pop. So if you can hit them before they get to the line, they will break.
All right.
That is Jabari's turn.
See, you just gotta hit him once?
Just gotta hit him once, but there's two of them.
Great. Jabari will go for the fragules.
Sweet. Pasta fragule.
Let's get saucy. First one is gonna be a... that's gonna be a 21 to hit.
That does not hit. You see...
Oh, wow.
Arrow goes past them. They're fast as hell. Just all of the adrenaline. Mm.
Okay. Second one. That is going to be a nat one.
You see, Jabari, after dodging all these, tries to steady himself. Fragul gets past him, keeps going.
And then can we attack the ones that are just around us? Will that lower the
you
number?
If you just say that you attack them, that will add numbers to the humans.
I'll spend a key point attacking the ones around me.
Sweet. That will give plus one to the humans. That is Tarragon's turn. Tarragon, go ahead and give me a death saving throw.
Two.
That's a fail. You see Tarragon starts to cough up blood. Gideon is down. That is back up to you, Corbo. You see these two ghouls are rushing forward. They are going to blow up on the humans. You see Tarragon is down here struggling.
I'm going to use my action for a hand of healing and bring Terry up. Sweet. Nice. 12. That's the most I could possibly do.
Tarragon wakes up coughing smoke and again says, "What?"
Yeah, my dog ate Gideon.
You see, Lake is just sitting there ripping at the armor like it's a bone.
Am I close enough to those guys to try to punch them, to pop them?
Yeah, you can make an attack against them. Use your movement.
All right, cool. So I'll use a flurry of blows and
sweet.
I'll try to punch one of them.
AC 22.
That should do it. 24.
Sweet. Corbo, you punch one. You see it flies back from the force of your punch, instantly expands and explodes and takes out like the beam of a fucking house and starts going down. You see there is one more that is still going towards the line.
So can I punch that guy with my second flurry?
Yeah. If you've got a second one, go ahead.
Shout out to the two crew.
Okay. That one gets by you and keeps going. You see that one explodes as it latches on to the front lines here. A bunch of the footmen go down, but new ones take their place and put up their shields. They try to fight. Tarragon, why don't you roll the D12 against the zombies this time? And we've got a plus one from Jabari, I think.
Okay, four. Plus one, five.
They got a... 4 plus 3, 7, so another 2, 14 attacks.
Mm.
We'll do 5 on Jabari, 5 on Corbo, and 4 on Tarragon. One hit on Jabari, 11 damage, 2 hits on Corbo, only 10 damage with 2 hits.
Okay.
And then Tarragon.
Come on.
One hit, 6 damage.
Standing.
Tarragon stays up. And you guys see these undead centaurs. You guys see they load up arrows and quickly release. You see the arrows are glowing. They explode into 3 smaller arrows for 6 arrows total. If you guys would like to try to catch them, it is 15 damage to stop each arrow. You could try to catch multiple ones if you'd like.
Yeah, let's go. Jabari is going to jump off of whatever's nearby, get in the air and take a few.
Sweet.
And we have a minimum of 16, so I can at least catch one.
I have a minimum of 11.
And can I spend a key point to throw it back?
Yeah.
I'll blow a key point to throw one of these exploding arrows back at the centaurs.
Sweet. You catch one.
I'm going to give it to you straight. I did not deflect it. I rolled my to reduce it, and I didn't reduce it to zero.
Got it. Okay.
So I got a 3 plus 11, so I still take one damage.
Okay.
But so at least a person didn't take it.
It eats it, so that does not go through. Jabari catches one and throws it back. That's going to give a plus one to the humans. Corbo, are you going to try to stop any?
Yeah, I'm going to try to do one too. I got a plus 17.
Okay.
But I only rolled a one. That's an 18.
Okay, so you stop one. Do you want to throw it back or anything?
Yeah, I'd love to spend a key point and chuck it back at that fucking
Sweet.
Horse.
Okay. That is going to stopping three of them and throwing two of them back is just going to give plus one to the undead next round. So you guys have you guys can potentially start taking out some of these ghosts and start taking the battlefield back.
All right.
That is Jabari's turn.
I give both my attacks and then I give both my flurry of blows. That'll be plus four.
Sweet. Jabari, you run up and you join the line that was just decimated by these exploding dudes, and you stand yes. there with the toads. Looking dry, sir!
Yes, let's kill.
Sweet. That is Tarragon's turn.
I guess I'll do the same thing. It seems okay. like, so I'll just like give however many. I have all my key points, so.
So that's another plus four. That is Corbo's turn.
Yeah, I'm going to go up and I'm going to pick up one of the shields of somebody who fell in the explosion with the guy that I let through and say, let's hold this line together.
Toads, hold!
And remember, don't be shy about saying when you need water. You don't have to be dry. It's not
Wait,
a requirement.
What? We don't have to be dry?
You don't. Like you should be hydrated.
No! Hold the line!
Don't
stay dry!
Don't be dry when you could be hydrated.
Toads are amphibious. Even toads are supposed to be wet. I don't even understand the logic.
Lieutenant Brighton goes, please don't confuse them now. It's not the time.
I'm the one that's fucking enlightening them.
How many attacks can you give?
I have two attacks, and then can I use a key point and give my bonus action as well?
Yeah, so four, another four. Okay. Yeah.
Great. So we added 12 alone.
You guys also throwing them back gave one each. So you add 14 to this D12. So go ahead and roll me a D12.
I can do it.
Eight over here.
That's a one.
No!
No!
I'm sorry!
It's fine, Jabari.
Okay, so you see it is slow going, but you guys, Hexbloods in the front, the reason they're called Hexblood Centurions is because they're supposed to be as good as 100 warriors. So you guys join the line and begin taking out some of these phantoms. 15 minus 8. So you guys take out seven of these warriors that were making attacks every turn.
That's half?
That is almost half of them. There are eight left. They are going to split up their attacks. Two Tarragon, two Corbo, three Jabari.
I deserve it.
Two Tarragons.
You roll what?
Two Tarragons miss.
Wow.
Two Corbos. Two Corbos miss.
Yes.
Three Jabaris. One hit. 11 damage, Jabari.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you guys can, if you guys want to just keep adding it, we can just do the next roll if you guys want.
I think it's another 12.
Sweet. Do you guys have enough key to
Yeah, I got,
do the
I
whole
got
thing?
Three key points
flush
left.
I'm with key.
You guys are super flush with key.
It's weird because death saves don't actually take any key.
That is plus 12 to your roll. Go ahead and give me another D12, guys. You see the line starts, instead of just trying to hold, continues to move forward. Shield wall as these undead zombies and stuff are like trying to get through. Some are getting like trampled by the frontline soldiers. Guys, go ahead and roll your D12.
I'm not going to do it. Give
it to me.
Up. Nine.
Plus...
There you go.
12.
9 plus 12 is 21. You guys That's successfully right. defeat the undead.
Fuck right. yeah!
You guys completely surround the remaining ones. Prophet Gideon is not there to keep bringing people back up. You guys finish off the last of the zombies. And you guys see you have these four lines that were creating this square that were like coming into... box in these undead have now gotten close enough that everybody looks around and kind of sees that they've won, and everyone's baffled and confused against this like supernatural thing. They look at you guys, the centurions.
Can I shout, "You're all Hexblood centurions now"?
Go ahead and give me a persuasion check with advantage.
That's an 18 on the dice.
Okay.
Wow. With a 7, 25.
You hear just one, you see people are a little confused. You see here one dude in the back just goes, "I heard that technically a Hexblood can make a Hexblood, so she's right." And you just hear a roar, "Yeah!" Cheers go up. People begin just celebrating out in the town, just this victory against the undead. This attempt to create this army has been stopped. But guys, go ahead and give me a perception check.
Oh, no.
Also, Jabari's openly weeping at the idea that there are now more Hexbloods than just the idea that we're, like, it's truly like an emotional moment.
We grow in numbers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've just, like, kind of took my eyes and I point two people towards, like, the nearest tavern and I just say, "Wheel out any kegs that they have in there to the town square."
That's a dirty 20 perception for Jabari.
That's a 9 for Tarragon.
It's only a 12.
I still have blood and the bile of death in my eyes.
You guys see, poor Tarragon. She's had a night. You guys catch out of the corner of your eye around all these people celebrating. You see the dented, deanimated armor of Prophet Gideon begins to twitch, and you see a light blue glow coming from where his head used to be. And that's where we'll end our session.
Wow. Fuck.
Don't need to enjoy our victory.
I know.
Let us roleplay the revelry.
Let us roleplay the revelry.
I'm sorry.
We had them let bring the kegs out.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys had a hot tub earlier today, okay?
Yeah, only one tub per sesh.
We did get some mermaids. We get some mermaid time in.
But let's roleplay the revelry on the short rest this week.
Yeah, good call.
Just like 10 minutes of Corbo getting drunk in a tavern, if we can do that.
Sweet, guys. Yeah, you can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. We'll sing over there. Lots of revelry happening over on the short rest.
I think Tarragon just gets like weepy drunk and just keeps saying, like, "You know, sometimes you do the damage, other times you take it. You just really can't predict. You just can't predict."
Lou, do you got anything you want to plug?
You can check me out on Instagram at Sweet Lou Zinho, Sweet Lou, Z-I-N-H-O. Check out my single Coda on Spotify and Apple Music. And I've really been digging the album Ribbons by the artist Bibio, B-I-B-I-O.
Very cool. Ooh,
can I do a plug of just something I'm enjoying? I really like this. I'm reading The Priory at the Orange Tree, and I fucking love it. It's an 800-plus page book, and I am like trying to read it at a slower pace than I want to make it last. That is an accomplishment.
Jake, you got anything you want to plug?
I got into Parts Unknown about like 10 years after, 10 years too late.
Yeah, no, but, you know, that's great, yeah.
It's a really amazing show. Anthony Bourdain is such an incredible man. It's really heartbreaking to watch, but I'm really enjoying it.
You know, my first job out of college was as a PA for the Tony Bourdain show.
That's so cool.
I mean, you call him Tony, so we know you're in the circle.
That's what I call him when I watch him. I say, "I'm going to go watch Tony. Can I watch Tony?"
Jake, you got anything else you want to plug?
I do have some shout outs to the P.O. Box, actually.
Great.
So I want to say congrats to Sam C., who just graduated from the University of Colorado in Boulder. Great town.
Love Boulder.
Yeah.
Best luck in law school, Sam. Pawpaw's rooting for you. Kate W. sent us a note and some cool D&D stickers, so thank you, Kate, and apologies we'd made your boss listen to us talk about dragon genitals. So yeah, that's a blanket apology to anybody listening, I guess. Gig, a.k.a. at Giraffe in Goggles, sent us a note full of drawings from the campaign and a drawing they did of the Bond Frères, so thank you for sending that.
So cute.
And Bappy, cool name, sent us a custom-painted Starspawn.
Ooh. Oh, yes! Wearing a little Scrumper jersey. Wow. I mean, a Mavericks jersey.
That's very, very rad. Well, thank you very much. They also wrote us apparently a note about a time a possum gave birth to a litter of babies in their car. So,
whoa,
you know, congrats on that awesome event happening as well.
It's kind of terrifying, yeah. Cute but terrifying.
Yep, and that's it.
Sweet. Great. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow Lou on Instagram, Sweet Lou Zinho, Z-I-N-H-O. And then, you know what? This is getting too complicated. Let's just go back to plugging our Twitters, even though we don't tweet. You can follow me on Twitter, at CH.
I'll get back in. Someone sent me a picture of a cat the other day, and I did respond because I really like a cat.
Well, Twitter's a great fucking
at
website.
At eAxford is there to reply to your cats. at Jake Hurwitz is Jake Hurwitz. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
Hey, it is time to thank our benevolent Council of Elders, starting with Julia W., Brad D., Jeffrey S., Halder Frostback, Steel Breaker, and Matt M., the winners of the Bright Leap Army's annual dry t-shirt competition. As a reward, these little dry toads were given a fun-sized Dasani bottle to split six ways between them. Oh my god, please, please hydrate. Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Jibe G, Zolo Dolo, and Dylan B, tourists on a cross-country trip to see every grove in Eldermorn. No one knows how they keep finding their way in, but these travelers always tip well and have plenty of granola to share, so no one's complaining. There you go, stay friendly, folks. Schubert the Mushroom, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M, Beardman Dan, and Scott D, a team of explorers who ventured into Terrigan's Dimple in order to find out how deep it is. Sadly, they never returned. It is that deep. Danny P, Elena C, Mixologist Michael McD, Victor T, Balnor's Boy, Jabari's other weapons that he decided to leave at home. Even though he didn't bring them, Jabari loves Danny the Sword, Elena the Dagger, Michael the Flail, and Balnor's Boy the Rocket Launcher. Oh my goodness. Just as much as he does Claw and Fang. I'd love the Rocket Launcher the most. Andrew B, Justin I, TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Elena M, Trele the Crayfay, and Jared E, audience members who attended Corbo's first TED Talk. The topic was listening is the new speaking, and half of it was just Corbo trying and failing to tune a guitar. Sounds about right. Christopher B, Austin Bonesaw, MR, Damiel R, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, and Octolick. Other royal relatives seeking claims to the throne, they all have titles like the could-be king, the maybe queen, and the kinda sorta prince, which speaks pretty clearly to their chance of succeeding. Yeah. Gage M, Sir Carl, Richard X Machina, Michael L, and Kelvin Noodles, fuzzy blue monsters who live in the grove. According to legend, no one has ever seen the bottom half of a grover, and any who are trying are viciously hugged to death. What a way to go. Sergio Salazar, Solomon Zacharias de Sessuani, Trass the Traveler, Jory S, Dana G, and Calum L, not to mention Ryan, the Bright Leapettes, like the Rockettes, but with leaping instead of the can-can, so, you know, a little bit better. Jack L, the Flawless Whale, Temporal, Sam L, Nicholas C, and Seely Reese, the Hex Bloodies, a group of Hex Blood stands who get together on Sunday afternoons to drink Bloody Marys and watch the highlight reels from the Hex Bloods Prime. Wow, invite me next time. Samuel B, Mike H, Matthew E, Colton B, and Adam G, Corbo's Slap Senseis. They worked long and merciless hours honing that slap. That slap, 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 whap, 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 dap, dap, dap. Give them daps and slap them. You know what I'm talking about. Mateo C, N.E. Badger, Panama James, and Adrian the Halfling Bard, the makers of the War Pool, which is actually pretty logical considering there's usually a lot more people in a war than can fit in a tub. Actually, yeah. That makes sense, and if it's a giant size, my goodness gracious. Dan, Nikki W., Grace G., and Drew Nasty. Terragon's spirit guardians, sure they weren't around long, but imagine the damage they could have done. There's a reason Gideon focused fire on these nasty dragon ghosts, you better believe. CC, Lulu, Jay, Barnes and Nader, and Michelle O., a group of toads that was getting lunch when everything went down and are livid they aren't honorary Hexbloods. Dang. Timmy R., Lucas B., Aaron S., and Kevin M, a vape company that has been trying to recreate Terrigen's expressive nostril smoke. Best of luck, folks. It comes with blood magic and a morally gray past. Austin C, Hogfish's Above Average Hog. New York and Stephen C, the makers of Dry Cream, the only anti-moisturizer on the market. Dry Cream will suck the moisture out of your pores and leave you feeling like the crusty little toad you are. Stay dry, toads. Please don't. Please, please don't forget to drink water. And moisturize, it's just good for you. KJ, Rahul, and Mike K, and Maxwell C, Weimer's foot soldiers who stayed behind to fight the undead. They're not heroes, they just slept through the first part of the battle and woke up to a zombie in their tent. What are you going to do? Karen T, Justin Raccoon, Nick W, and Michael C, the production team behind Toads Sodes, a reality show about dry foot soldiers. Test audiences wondered why the toads needed to be dry, and no one ever gave them a straight answer. I hope the show fails, and I hope you guys take a soak and drink a pint of water. Esme M, Spartagnus Nathan, Casimir the All-Knowing, and Big Bad Beardo the Mad, a crew of rowdy friends who were having a birthday party at a bar in Pearl Hill. They straight up did not notice the zombie apocalypse right outside and continued the birthday bender. It was kind of like, it was like a zombie con or something. Jack Mehoff, Eric M, Burleigh T, Alex A, Nero, Claudius Caesar, Augustus Germanicus, and Christian A, Henry Hogfish's sparring partners. They eventually stopped approaching him at the gym because he apologized every time he blocked a shot and was really just bumming everybody out. Yeah, you know, that's kind of Henry's vibe. Jay Dragonborn, the Sandrayan, Ben Ave, and Fel Dennis, the only warriors who train more and sleep less than Jabari. They aren't Hexbloods, though, so they're just super tired and sore all the time. Let's hope they are never called into battle, and let's hope they never become toads, because you pair that stuff with a lack of water, and it's no good. Dave H, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Keith K, and Brittany B, little toadstool people who are said to give the best hugs at the Grove. They will be the Hexbud's greatest foe. Oh my god. The Time Walker, Emilio D, Frankie Koala, and Big Bad John. Oh, and did I forget Aston S and Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian? I did not. They're a jam band who just played Faecella and is about to embark on a tour across the Sacred Groves. They're the first band to traverse two campaigns, but they've done too many psychedelics to realize it. Dang. Pork Chop, Chenille M, Argent Alice, Minette F, Pat L, and Akyutha A, Mom's other children. She always dotes on them, which is just seems nice, but you know, it's actually a manipulative little move to make the Hex Buds feel inadequate, so it's actually super fucked up. Lauren H, Josh D, Janina E, Maddie Y, Alex H, the eldest Barry, and Ryan S, members of the cavalry who were also thinking about punching their commander in the head before Corbo came over and did it for him. Good on you guys, though, for thinking about it. The Bone Duster, Joshua H., Robert Crisp, Yidrazel, and Brantley C., zombie centaurs who were firing arrows, but in life, they were such noble creatures with good hearts that every once in a while, their souls were able to will their bodies to miss on purpose. Thank you. Thank you, dear friends. Micah B., Carly Ann, Jorge C., Connor Savage, Sally S., Hot Tub Heaters, who are making Glade's tub extra steamy for our injured centaur friend Stalios. Worry not, nothing cures wounds better than a good long soak. Listen up, toads. Christopher J. O., Cole the Goldfish Gremlin, Logan S., Saucy Apple, and Leviathan, the purveyors of Lake's dog food, and thankfully she refuses to eat it, so she ended up being super hungry and just hungry enough to devour Gideon's ghost head. So nice. Deme A, Biocourt, Kenny, Remington CD, Mike R, and Everett P. Toads who just this very day have become honorary Hexbloods. High honor aside, they're mostly excited to be allowed to drink water and walk normally rather than hop. Yes, you don't have to be actual frogs. K. Sose, Lindsay W., Adam C., Carlin C., Anthony S., and Sally S., tattoo artists already working on designing some absolutely sick additions to Jabari's hellscape chess piece. Sally is actually just pitching that they add enough zombies to fill in all of Jabari's back. You know, just go the full way around, and it sounds rad to me. Tristan C., Jake, Andy, Oren C., Emily S., and Ember K., sprites that witnessed Jabari body slam Corbo before bed and just flew around Corbo's eyes a lot, making sure he didn't pass out till he recovered, and then he went to sleep, which that's the way to do it. So thank you. Thank you, thoughtful friends, and thank you, benevolent Council of Elders.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.